Thank you for listening to GARS.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 44 and clear. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 40s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram's oil report for Saturday, December 12th. Carbon management. Biden administration's focus on climate could boost CCUS. Carbon capture could see some new opportunities under the Biden administration. The annual carbon management workshop, part of the CO2 conference, opened with partners in the Hunt and Andrews Kurth law firm discussing the aftermath of the presidential election and its impact on carbon capture, use and storage, and carbon capture and storage. Fred Eames, a partner in the law firm, told those attending the conference, both in person at the Barbara and George H.W. Bush Convention Center and watching online, that there needs to be more of a look at the environmental benefits of the industry's work with carbon dioxide in enhancing oil recovery. In the early days of Joe Biden's presidency, Eames said a new stimulus COVID-19 relief bill could be passed and major infrastructure and transportation legislation could be introduced. He said four areas that could have bipartisan support and where related legislation could pass are carbon capture, utilization and storage, hydrogen research, development and deployment, battery storage, and electrification. What is needed first is Department of Treasury action on 45Q tax credits for carbon capture projects, Eames said, noting that the Internal Revenue Service has taken quite a long time to craft regulations for that tax credit. Quote, people don't quite know what the requirements are that they have to meet to take the 45Q tax credit and what the deadlines are for projects to be under construction for the credit, he said. A near evenly split Senate could act as a brake on what he called more radical legislation. Off the table, at least immediately, Eames said, are a carbon tax, climate cap and trade, and repeal of the 2017 tax reform. With Biden's promised focus on renewable energy, including a $2 trillion climate plan that could fund research, development, and deployment of renewable energy, he said carbon capture and storage could get consideration. Quote, I do expect to see a push for substantial new funding for clean technology deployment that could include carbon capture, usage and storage, and pipelines, Eames said. He also expects the U.S. to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. Quote, it's worth noting that while the U.S. exited the Paris Climate Accord only recently, the U.S. between 2005 and 2017 decreased its CO2 emissions by more than the next 12 countries in the world combined, Eames said. Quote, that's a very important statistic. We can be in the accord or not, but the U.S. has reduced its emissions by far more than other countries, end quote. Expect executive orders and indirect actions on that climate agenda, said Eames and Matt Leopold, also a partner in the law firm. Direct ways, from Securities and Exchange Commission requirements on booking and reporting climate risk to increased capital requirements for banks that finance fossil fuel-based infrastructure, will have an impact. But Leopold said the indirect ways could be even more impactful. They include strengthening the National Environmental Policy Act with regards to fossil fuel-related projects, reintroducing the Waters of the U.S. definition to state water quality certification. When the Biden administration looks at carbon capture, utilization, and storage, the question is whether they support capture as long as it's not used to produce more fossil fuels, or whether they want it captured and stored in a saline formation or non-producing formation. Quote, "I am concerned about that," Leopold said. "I don't know the answer at this point. No one can know the answer. We've all seen interest groups pushing for keep it in the ground for no use of fossil fuels. There's a new group pushing for 100% electric vehicle sales by 2030. California is going to all electric vehicle sales by 2035. I see risk in that." End quote. As U.S. energy policy shifts from energy dominance and deregulation under the Trump administration to focus on climate, environmental justice will be part of that shift, said Carrie McGrath, also a partner in the law firm. She said Biden's $2 trillion plan includes a goal of targeting 40% of all clean energy spending to disadvantaged communities. There is also a proposal to establish an environmental and climate justice division within the Department of Justice. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, as senator, proposed a Climate Equality Act that would create an Office of Climate and Environmental Justice Accountability within the White House. Quote, "There will be a significant focus on enforcement," she said. "Legacy facilities will be an area of greater focus on compliance. We'll also see a significant focus on environmental justice at the state level." CCUS technology could improve electric grid reliability. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Being able to flip a switch and have the lights come on is the highest energy priority for most people. The keynote speaker at the annual CO2 conference warned that that ability could come into question amid the drive to replace fossil fuels with renewable energy. Speaking Thursday afternoon, Mike Nasi, a partner in the Jackson Walker law firm, said California and its rolling blackouts this year is a cautionary tale. He told those in person at the Barbara and George H.W. Bush Convention Center and watching online that Texas, which has prided itself on not being like California, is at risk for the same reliability woes. Texas's grid reliability is in question as what he called the thermal fleet, coal, and even natural gas-fired power plants are taken out of service and investment in new ones shrinks while wind and solar farms rise across the state. Quote, "The thermal fleet is just not getting built," he said. And as the electric grid's energy mix approaches or surpasses 30% renewables, he said performance and reliability will be greatly impacted. Current battery storage technology in 2020 was 200 gigawatt hours, the equivalent of 2 hours of U.S. demand. For renewable energy to meet 100% of U.S. supply, he said storage would need to equal 1 day to 1 month of demand. That is where carbon capture, utilization, and storage can come into play, Nasi said. CCUS technology, while mitigating if not eliminating CO2 emissions and helping address climate change, can reliably deliver low-carbon fossil fuels to the grid 24 hours a day, every day. Quote, "It can be a more valuable low-carbon asset to the grid than deep penetration of intermittent wind or solar, and should be competitive with energy storage," Nasi said. "It should be sold to legislators and regulators that way, and more importantly, sold to the public that way." End quote. To promote the adoption of CCUS technology into electric grids, he recommended that regulators be required to perform decarbonization comparisons when coal or gas-powered plants are listed for retirement. Likewise, states should also establish reliability and/or firming requirements like renewable portfolio standards, but focused on the grid. "The next 4 years will be the nation's defining CCUS moment," Nasi said. Quote, With every retirement of a coal or gas plant, we lose resilient, reliable power, employment, and the opportunity to commercialize CCUS technology, along with energy security benefits, he said. Advancing and adopting CCUS technology will require public support, and that will require a serious effort to educate the public about energy, Nasi said. The systemic and intentional bashing of fossil fuels has eroded political and financial support for any fossil fuel project investment, regardless of how low carbon it might be, he said. To garner public support, he said people must be made to realize how much their everyday lives depend on fossil fuels, from minerals to plastics to electricity. Power markets must also be made understandable to Americans, so their belief in 100% renewable energy is replaced with bipartisan, technology-focused regulations. And, most importantly, he said, Americans must be made to understand their externalization of renewables and the inhumanity of that impact on people in developing countries who live in energy poverty. Quote, if we're serious about the mitigation of CO2 emissions, we must advance CCUS technology, Nasi said. Carbon capture will play a strong role for some time. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries sees a carbon-neutral world by 2050, and that is driving its investment and research decisions. Quote, Mitsubishi will use its technical strengths to lower and capture carbon dioxide emissions and achieve carbon neutrality by 2050, Jared Thomas, business development manager, told the Carbon Management Workshop, part of the annual CO2 conference, which was Tuesday through Thursday. Providing the keynote address after lunch on Tuesday, Thomas told those attending the conference in person and watching online that carbon capture has a strong role to play in addressing both the climate and energy concerns over the next 15 to 20 years, quote, and will be around for some time, end quote. Carbon capture and utilization will be a central focus for Mitsubishi, with the company expanding its product line and investing in conversion and usage technologies. He envisioned conversion and utilization in industrial uses, fuel synthesis, and enhanced oil recovery, and CO2 sequestration. Carbon capture technology could also be applied to thermal power in cement plants, steel plants, factories, waste management, and in commercial facilities. Bioenergy is another field the company is exploring, planning a bioenergy with carbon capture and storage pilot project with Drax Group to demonstrate carbon capture and a Drax Group power plant in England. The 12-month project is designed to capture 300 kilograms of CO2 a day. The program will also test two of Mitsubishi's proprietary solvents, one of which is in use at Mitsubishi's Petra Nova post-combustion carbon capture facility in Texas, Thomas said. Thomas detailed Petra Nova, its first commercial power project that saw its performance test completed in December 2016 and is capturing 1.4 million tons of CO2 per year. The company will reevaluate the equipment and tower design based on actual performance, he said. Modularity and optimization of the plot plan will also be undertaken, and the company will develop realistic gas impurity assumptions, he said. The ocean is another area the company is investigating. Mitsubishi is planning a marine-based demonstration of carbon capture. Thomas said the company would utilize land-based CO2 capture systems in a marine environment in a test expected to last 2 years. The goal is to reduce emissions from marine equipment and ships. As Mitsubishi puts its technology to work, Thomas said the risks are significantly lowered with operational experience. The company is taking improvements from new technologies and lessons learned to improve optimization and minimization of facility layout and modular design. California environmentalists blast federal oil lease sale. Oil and gas leases on federal public lands in California were put up for auction for the first time in 8 years on Thursday, drawing protests from environmental organizations on grounds including threats to climate, human health, and wildlife. The 7 parcels put up for bid by the Bureau of Land Management encompass more than 4,100 acres in Kern County and the southern San Joaquin Valley. The Center for Biological Diversity, a nonprofit conservation organization, blasted the Trump administration for going ahead with the auction amid ongoing legal disputes, saying Kern County is already one of the most polluted in the country. Cassie Siegel, director of the center's Climate Law Center, noted in a statement that it has been a year of record-breaking fires and scorching temperatures. Quote, "We look forward to working with President-elect Joe Biden to revoke these illegal leases and make good on his pledge to protect our climate by banning new oil and gas leasing on federal lands," Siegel said. The center contends that parcels were opened up to auction through a flawed environmental review process that has been challenged in court. In an earlier request for public comment on the sale, the BLM's Bakersfield field office noted that all the parcels are located in or adjacent to existing oil fields and that oil and gas fields in California are highly developed, some producing for more than 100 years. Quote, "The BLM is a key contributor to the Trump administration's priority for American energy independence through an all-of-the-above strategy that includes oil and gas, strategic minerals, and renewable sources such as wind, geothermal, and solar, all of which can be found on public lands," the BLM statement said. The Center for Biological Diversity said nearly 35,000 written responses to the BLM denounced the plan, and dozens of conservation, environmental, health, and community groups joined in a letter of opposition. Wildlife threatened by oil development of the lands include the San Joaquin kit fox and the California condor, environmentalists said. Jenny Binstock, a senior campaign representative with the Sierra Club, described the auction as, quote, "reckless handouts to the fossil fuel industry that ignored public opposition and public health." EP Energy to divest Southern Midland Basin assets. EP Energy Corporation has entered into a purchase and sale agreement with an undisclosed buyer to divest of EP Energy's assets located in the Southern Midland Basin. The transaction is expected to close by the end of January 2021. Pro forma for the divestiture, EP Energy will own approximately 410,000 gross, 275,000 net acres in northeastern Utah and the Eagle Ford. Average daily net production for the third quarter 2020 pro forma for the transaction was 48,400 barrels of oil equivalent per day and 31,600 barrels of oil per day. The company intends to use the proceeds to reduce borrowings under its reserved base loan facility. Pro forma for the transaction, the company expects end-of-year 2020 net debt to be approximately $100 million and net debt to be adjusted EBITDAX to be approximately 0.3x. President and Chief Executive Officer Russell Parker said, quote, "We are very pleased to announce this transaction that enables EP Energy to core up its portfolio and significantly reduce debt. Post the divestiture, EP Energy will have minimal leverage, a strong liquidity position, and an asset base that can generate attractive returns and free cash flow into the current price environment."
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 13th. 2020. Merry Christmas, $50 Oil, by Dennis Elam, an associate professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Brent crude topped $50 for the first time since March this year, WTIC trading at $46.71. The former is from Yahoo Finance. Positive mood toward vaccine approval has created an expectation of more travel. That has boosted the price of crude oil and energy shares. Last week, we mentioned that ExxonMobil and Chevron were finally cutting exploration expenditures. There have been numerous articles suggesting ExxonMobil did not have the cash flow to run the company, explore, and pay the dividend. The dividend is now 8% with a price of $44.01. That is still well below the 52-week high of $71.37, but now makes the case for ExxonMobil as a buy and hold. We have noted numerous metrics which in the past have coincided with market tops of some significance. Those metrics have continued this week. House rental Airbnb went public yesterday at $68, but closed the day at $144.71. The underwriters really missed on pricing that one. Did I mention that neither Airbnb nor DoorDash the day before have ever recorded a profit? Airbnb is now worth more than Hyatt, Hilton, and Marriott combined. Hello, Tesla. C3.zi, a software company, jumped 120% on its initial offering. DoorDash is valued at $39 billion. But the offering comes just as the COVID vaccine is approved. Restaurants embraced DoorDash delivery, attempting to stay in business during the shutdowns. With energy prices up and vaccines available, surely the restaurant delivery business will see some decline, but mood is unremembered as memories of the February top have faded. What? Me worry? Say investors. AT&T regrets buying DirecTV, but has no problem getting a $15 bid. Tesla jumps 50% in the last 3 weeks since becoming an S&P 500 stock. Price has had a 125 times increase since it was listed. Governments love to sue successful companies at market peaks. Both the federal government and 46 states have sued Facebook. France hits Google and Amazon with $163 million in fines. Congress wants to break up Facebook after justice approved its last two acquisitions. December is marked by tax selling after a good year in the markets, and that is the case now. Check out my web blog, https://professorelam.typepad.com/markets/, to track the summation index, which is now approaching its last two highs this year. It appears the markets will hold up at least into January before that indicator tops and turns down. So for now, the traditional Santa Claus rally continues. Merry Christmas. The Economist. Rumors of oil's death have been greatly exaggerated, by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. Among the myriad industries affected by the COVID-19 pandemic is one particularly critical to Texas, oil. As much of the global economy shut down to slow the spread of the virus this spring, fuel demand plummeted. Prices plunged, with futures contracts even briefly going negative. The industry initiated a rapid shutdown of drilling activity, which rippled through an enormous supply chain and supporting retail and service enterprises in the affected communities and the entire state. Many service firms and large swaths of production and reserves changed hands as capital resources for small and mid-sized firms became virtually non-existent. Energy is the state's largest export sector, supporting a substantial segment of economic activity across Texas. When exploration, drilling, production, oil field services, pipelines, storage, refining, shipping, and other aspects of the sector are considered, our analysis indicates that oil from the Permian Basin alone supports about 10% of the Texas economy, with the industry statewide comprising about 13 to 14%. As the pandemic caused chaos, comparisons to the devastation in the 1980s were inevitable. However, the issues this time were caused solely by a health crisis, and it remains merely a matter of time before recovery ensues. The pandemic has lingered beyond expectations, but some balance has already been restored. Rig counts in Texas have recently edged upward. Early this year, over 400 rigs were running in the Permian Basin. In mid-August, the number was 116. In late October, the count went back over 130 and was 163 at last count. Prices have generally been above $40 per barrel for a while, which is sufficient to support the increase. We expect them to rise modestly next year. Obviously, there is still significant near-term uncertainty. COVID-19 cases are rising, and further restrictions may be needed, which could negatively affect demand and prices. This, too, shall pass. The pandemic has disrupted many aspects of life and the economy, and oil is certainly no exception. What has not been materially altered, however, are the long-term global demographic patterns, manufacturing and trade flows, and pace of technological innovation that drive the ultimate patterns in petroleum demand and production. Earlier this year, the demand for oil in the world fell from about 100 million barrels, about 101 million barrels per day, BPD, to just 72 million BPD in April, the lowest level since 1995. Many pundits were writing oil's obituary. However, almost 70% of the loss has already been recouped, and we and other analysts expect the 2021 level to be only 2 to 3% below prior peaks. Assuming vaccinations and therapeutics bring the virus under control, the market should return to previous peaks in 2022. The oil environment over this past year has not been fun, but it is also not permanent. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 44 and clear. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 40s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 13th, 2020, Life and Times. Coping with loss makes the holidays harder. By Levi Stone, RNMSN. Losing someone special and close is hard enough. Between the heartache, sorrow, and adjusting to life without them, it takes time to heal and move forward. Whether it's a spouse, child, or dear friend, the void felt by their absence can resonate long after they've left this world behind. However, the holidays can prove to be an even more difficult time, especially for those suffering from a recent loss. Well, most of us see the holidays as a time to celebrate and give thanks. It causes others to realize and reflect on how life has changed without their loved one during an otherwise happy and joyous time. Getting through the holidays can be an emotional roller coaster, and while there's no one-size-fits-all way to cope, there are several options that can help. Recognizing that the holidays will be challenging and unlike those in years past is the first initial step toward developing coping strategies through the season. It's also important to remember not everyone grieves the same way, which in turn means that how you plan to spend your holidays may not match how others may want to spend theirs. Some may wish to be around as many friends and family as possible, while others might opt for a more low-key, subtle approach. There's no right or wrong way in doing it. Just be honest and communicate with others so they know what you do and don't want to do during the holidays. Perhaps this is a good time to take an inventory on traditions and decide which ones you want to keep, change, or start anew. A certain smell, a particular event, or an old decoration may conjure up memories and a flood of emotions that may just be too much, or it may be just what is needed to help cope. Starting a new tradition to honor the memory of a loved one is a great way to keep those in our hearts whom we miss dearly. Some do this by creating a memory stocking in which family and friends write down special memories or add certain pictures that were special to them. When the time is right, everyone can spend a moment reading and sharing them together. If you are overloaded with holiday events and need a break, go for it.